I tell you, that Mike Brown is really good, isn't he? What he can do when he gets the ball on defense. Oh, no, Eddie Jackson.
Remember, Mike Brown did it about six times, though. So.
Yeah, but
never twice in the same game, though.
No.
No one has done what he did, 75 or more on two touchdowns. There are playmakers in the secondary, aren't there, Larry?
It's very exciting to watch because I know we've talked about the need to get turnovers, and that's exactly what's happened. The Bears' defense has played well pretty much all season. Couple lopsided losses had more to do with the offense turning the ball over than anything, but they have played well and they've taken their game to the next step these last 2 weeks, and the biggest difference is the turnovers. The defense has forced two turnovers in the first five games. Now they have three each of the last 2 weeks. That's been the biggest reason right now that the Bears are 2-0 in the last two games. And also, not only are they forcing the takeaways, but they're turning them into points, returning them to the end zone, which is obviously something that's very critical. In the last two games, the Bears defense has scored three touchdowns and not given up any. And that game on Sunday was very unique in that the Bears, first time they won a game without scoring an offensive touchdown since the Dennis Green game in 2006. The Bears are who we thought they were game. And so, I mean, that really speaks a lot to the defense. And it's really fun to see because I know the fans are fired up about it. And I think you see the players gaining confidence slowly but surely. And it really, to me, only means they're going to continue getting better.
Look at the last 2 weeks. Touchdowns allowed. Zero. That's what you want out of your defense,
yes,
right?
That'd be a good number right there.
So let me ask you this, Larry. If you're playing fantasy football,
here we go.
Do you pick up the Bears defense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Akeem Hicks told me to do that on Monday when he was talking.
He did.
He's a rather large guy, and I'm not going to go against his wishes.
Akeem the dream.
Akeem the dream. But, I mean, yeah, they're making plays. And I mean, Eddie Jackson had an incredible game. And I think Adrian Amos doesn't really get a lot of credit for that play because he pretty much kept the ball loose there. And both of the turnovers that Eddie Jackson created really showed a lot of athletic ability. He scooped up the ball on the run there. And what I liked about his interception was that pretty much everybody was watching the ball, but he was running full speed to where he knew the ball was going to land, and he caught it. It wasn't just like a lucky deflection. And he made a great move on Cam Newton to deke him out to score the touchdown. And really, this is nothing new for Eddie Jackson. At Alabama, he showed the knack to get in the end zone and the knack to make big plays. He had five touchdown returns, either on defense or special teams, in his last 2 years there.
Well, as they say down there in Alabama, he's a fine athlete. And he got past his sophomore year, we knew he was going to be a fine athlete.
You know, and the weird thing, too, was just that this game came on the one-year anniversary of him breaking his leg, which is really crazy. But also, when you think about it, without him breaking the leg, the Bears may not have been able to draft him because I think that's a main reason that he dropped into the fourth round. The Bears knew what kind of playmaker he was. He came back, he missed OTAs, he missed offseason work, but this is a guy that obviously has shown what he can do with the ball in his hands, and it's really fun to watch. And if you talk to him, he's a very humble but confident kid.
So there's an evolution I see in the last few weeks with the quarterbacks and the offenses that they're facing. First, it was a Super Bowl MVP in Flacco, but he didn't really have many good receivers. Then you had Cam Newton. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Breeze.
Right. Well, this is the third future Hall of Famer the Bears are facing, Rodgers and Roethlisberger being the first two. But Drew Breeze is a very unique player. I heard you guys mention before he's 38 years old, but he's still playing at a high level. And this is a guy that gets the ball out of his hands quick, quick, quick. It's going to be hard to sack him. He throws to all levels very accurately. He's really fun to watch. I mean, there's no Aaron Rodgers probably is in the same category in terms of a guy that has a just complete command of the offense, knows what he's doing. He's going to force the tempo. He's going to push the ball up and down the field. And I think this is really, and I'm not even going to go on Bears defense right now. This is a really important game for the Bears offense to string together some long drives and protect the ball. And they're going to have to get some first downs and not go three and out because the defense is not going to be able to handle it against Drew Brees.
No, Brees is going to present some problems. But as I see it, though, Larry, I'm going to go back to the guys up front, the front four, you know, the guys that go to work for a living. You know what I'm saying? Guys who get to put their hand in the dirt. I think that this is going to be a key game for those guys because this offensive line of the Saints has protected them pretty well. And you see the fact that when he drops back, that pocket's clean for him. Let's find out what he does when that pocket is not so clean. You take the same approach as they took last week, and that is compressing the pocket up front with the two guys inside and shutting down the corners. You got something going against these Saints, but that's the issue. Can you get there with those four? Because you want to make sure your secondary and your linebackers are able to cover the receiving group.
They've been going man-to-man most of the season. Do you continue that against this offense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, the interesting thing to me, too, is that Vic Fangio's defenses don't generally blitz a lot. he wants to get there with the defensive line strictly. But what I saw last week was interesting, that they were sending more pressure against Cam Newton. I remember early in the game, Danny Trevathan blitzed. I guess this is the play we're seeing right here. This is early in the game, first drive, and they really set a tone. They wanted to get Cam off his game immediately, and they did that by sending a lot of guys. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week in New Orleans. Are they going to do the same thing, or are they going to drop back into coverage? But the one thing I do know is that they have the luxury of doing this now because the secondary is a lot better. In previous years, they couldn't cover guys one-on-one all across the field, so they couldn't blitz. Now they have the opportunity to do that, so I'm assuming they're going to mix things up and not really show Drew Brees the same look all the time and try to keep him guessing, because that's one way to defeat a guy that's such a seasoned pro.
I was impressed with their conditioning. They were on the field like the whole game, it seemed. And they continue to, like, make plays despite that.
Well, and maybe that tells you a little something, too, about Carolina's offense, and because they were out there at the same time.
Yes,
so sometimes,
right.
One gets gassed and the other one doesn't. One gets gassed and the other one gets gashed.
I was going to say, it's a lot easier not to get gassed when you're returning interceptions and fumbles for touchdowns.
As long as you know the guy returning.
Right, exactly. You take a break. But, I mean, that's going to make you a little bit happier than when you're chasing the guy.
Yeah.
I'd rather be the guy running to the end zone than the guy chasing the guy running to the end zone.
All right, Vic Fangio's going back to New Orleans, spent 9 years there. Does he have an advantage as a former coordinator? It was a long time ago, but
yeah.
What's
well, it was
advantage?
A long time ago. I mean, Jiggs was almost playing, but no, I'm just kidding.
Easy.
I'm just kidding. No, it was a long time ago. I think it was 1986 through 1994.
You're right.
A lot of people don't realize that he coached those linebackers back down there when Sam Mills and, I mean, Ricky Jackson and these guys that are considered by a lot of people the greatest.
Well, yeah, hold on. Those linebackers helped coach Vic back then.
Okay,
you talk about an outstanding group. Was it Ricky?
Right, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling, Sam Mills.
Sam Mills. And Vaughn. His last name was Vaughn, I can't remember.
Yeah.
In other words, four guys that were just absolutely fantastic.
Two Hall of Famers, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. But how do you know that they're not in the Hall of Fame because of Vic? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Then
right?
Before and after.
I don't know. You never know.
We'll ask Vic.
I'd love to ask Vic. Vic is a very interesting guy to talk to. But they are considered by a lot of people as the best linebacking core ever in NFL history. So.
Ooh.
I know we had some great ones here.
No, they like that. I saw a piece, as a matter of fact, on Sam Mills, the late Sam Mills, and his son is a defensive line coach for the Panthers. That's where Sam was coaching when he passed away, I believe, it was of colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very touching story that they did on him on the NFL Network. And Sam was he started out in the USFL. Mm-hmm. And a little guy, and they called the field mouse.
Vic Fangio was there, too.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of really good players that came out of that USFL.
Like Dan Jiggins.
Tom Thayer.
Tom Thayer as well. Hey,
Steve Young. The list goes on
it
and
does,
on, believe
it does.
Me.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
No problem. I had a good time, guys. We'll see you guys on Sunday.